As part of my discernment for today's reflection, I took a look at what I had prepared for Remembrance Sunday 3 years ago. And sadly, in reading these scriptures and in looking at the world around us, I could almost have shared the same reflection word for word. People were struggling to live. Farming was a huge challenge. There was a huge rift in the conversations happening around the world, with anger, bullying, and violence being the go-to reaction to everything. There was rampant manipulation by politicians and leaders to pit us against each other. It's happening again. And with the goal of economic success being named as more important than the health, welfare, and hope for people, the vulnerable are once again being asked to pay the price for some financially secure person to make more money. We live in Canada, one of the most wealthy and prosperous countries in the world. We live in Alberta, one of the most fiscally balanced of all of the Canadian provinces, and yet we are not only not satisfied, but we are greedy for more. And I know that we are hurting, that jobs have been lost. I know that. But there are others in worse positions than we are. And when people won't give us what we feel we deserve, we have temper tantrums and threaten to build our own sandbox. There is no I in Canada, but we have lost the ability to see that we need to work together to compromise, to care, so that we can live the true North strong and free that we say we appreciate, that generations have fought for to ensure that we have the choices and freedoms that we take for granted. My soul is sore. I am feeling battered and worn down from the nastiness that is taking hold of a whole global community. What is going on? Where are the faithful voices speaking out for justice and creation and plain old-fashioned caring? What is it that God would have us do? In the reading from the Gospel of Luke today, Jesus is addressing questions posed by the Sadducees. The Sadducees were a religious faction who wielded great power in society. They were the religious aristocrats of the day, wealthy but corrupt. They collected taxes, were a middleman for relations with the Romans, were the law of the temple. They had power and loved to use it. They didn't believe in any kind of resurrection and certainly not in the Messiah. And so they challenged Jesus, trying to trip him up, finding a way to get him out of their way because he threatened their status. They asked a question about a woman who had been married to 7 brothers. Who would she be married to in the next life? Remember that women needed to be in the household of a man to be able to survive. And if a woman's husband died, the next male relative would have had to take her in. It was part of a culture and society that was unfair and unjust to the vulnerable. And Jesus said, you're asking the wrong questions. You're trying to put old rules into a new place. You are trying to use your power where it won't work. And I would think that this response would not have made him any Sadducee friends. He said, in heaven, marriage isn't necessary. God welcomes all because of their own merit, their own decisions, their own integrity. She wouldn't need a husband. That might have been a great relief to women everywhere in that time. In his answer, Jesus challenged the power of an empire or culture that was more concerned with power than with people. He taught about the equality of all God's children in God's world, totally opposite to the current realities that they were living in. The question that the Sadducees asked was the wrong question to learn the truth of what was needed and what was to come. Their thinking was creating a culture that held people down instead of lifting them up. And Jesus said, "Our ways are not God's, but God's ways should be our ways." In the second letter of Paul to the people of Thessalonica, written in a time in which the Roman kings would have spoken of themselves as gods. The author of the letter urges believers, oppressed by the empire at every turn, to remember who the real God was, and not to be swayed by the propaganda of the time. And doesn't that strike a chord? Haven't we seen a huge influx of misinformation? Lies told so that more money can be gathered. Fearmongers finding weakness and exploiting it. Those in power changing their promises to fit their own needs. We can clearly see that by looking out for themselves, they have diminished the value of others. And around the whole world, we see propaganda of various different degrees exercised by politicians in many countries, our own included. And in the midst of the posturing for position, many different people are being pushed aside so that someone else can feel powerful. This is not what we are supposed to be. We are supposed to learn from the past, to hold on to the goodness and let go of the temptations and the harm. We are supposed to be strong in our faith and let God guide our actions so that the world can be a better place for everyone in it. My soul is sore. On November 11th, people around the world gather for Remembrance Day. We honor those who have stood for the equality of many at the expense of their life or their health. They have looked past the empire that is towards the possibility of one that could be. They have stood for the freedom to live together in chosen harmony. They asked the right questions and found themselves on a path towards a bigger, better truth. And as we celebrate the selflessness of many, we should be considering what we are willing to give up so that others may have clean water, homes, safety from violence. It is not enough to say that we remember. We are called by those who gave their life to do something. Take up your quarrel with the foe. To you, from failing hands, we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields. Through these famous words of John McCrae, they who went before us, who still give up their lives, their sanity, for the freedom to make our choices, to live where we choose, to not be subjected to violence, to have the basic necessities of food, water, and shelter, they have said we have something to do. Our God tells us we shouldn't be misled by people in power, that we must know that God wants us to be the voices to care for the world, that we have the responsibility to fiercely love all people as equal, valued contributors to God's world. These scriptures speak powerfully to any people oppressed by the rise of empire and oppression in the world as reminders that they are not alone. And these scriptures call us to ensure that this is true. We struggle with living with others. As we say that we honor the heroes who showed us how to offer ourselves for peace, but then we use words that incite hatred and fear. We say that we live in a country that is welcoming, and then we slam the doors in the face of the weary. We say that we are people of God, and we are. We all are. Jesus asks us to look to God's rules, God's world, that say we are all equal and valued. And God knows that we are totally capable of doing this and continues to offer us encouragement to be courageous, to search for the truth, to focus on being the voice and healing actions in a world that is hurting. So let's remember the sacrifices of those who gave all for freedom of a whole world, not just a corner, as we use our voices for the truth of love. Let's remember by living with compassion and justice. Let's remember by fighting against harshness with kindness and understanding. Let's remember by truly appreciating what we have. Let's remember every day. Amen.